Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hello and welcome to the Married at First Sight Wrap Up. I'm Asia, and as always, I am joined by my co-host, Amy. Amy, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, but Asia, I know you've been Instagramming, traveling, YOLOing, so just want to warn you, like, you could be single forever if you keep that up.
Yeah, it's like, what? You know, I never knew only single people go out and have fun and then advertise it on social media. Like, I guess couples can't do that, huh? Couples can't travel and take pics and post it on social media.
Yeah, I just blame social media for all single people.
Yes. Social media is the reason any single person is single, apparently.
Nobody's ever slid into any DMs and become not single. It's never happened.
Right. No. No relationships have started from social media. Nothing. Wise words of Mr. Jose. Oh gosh, yeah, I can't wait to talk about his idea of traveling.
Yeah.
But yes, we are here to talk about an episode that maybe could have not been an episode. did you feel like you needed this episode?
It was so funny whenever they would show like 3 days till decision day. I was like, okay, but we have to wait a week till decision day. And what's going on here? Like, it just seemed like this all happened. Like, they were referring back to the retreat, like, just on Saturday. So it's like all this stuff is just the matter of days between it, but we have to drag it out for some reason.
Right. It's like if The Bachelor can fit in, The Bachelor Bachelorette can fit in a week in one episode, 1 2-hour episode, then I can imagine that Married at First Sight could do the same. Mm-hmm. There's no way we needed 4 hours for 1 week.
And just it seemed like all of them were coached on, okay, but you have to talk about the opposite of what you're actually going to do too.
Right?
Just to make it believable.
No for sure decisions. Right. Like none. Even if we know that y'all aren't talking, we need to know that there's a yes on the table. It's like, why are we even entertaining this? If they just needed a week, this episode could have easily been an hour. And then maybe that little filler episode right after, which kind of confused me. It was like Married at First Sight, Houston decision day. I was like, are they about to do decision day? I was like, I'm not prepared. And then it was the past couples talking about what they think is going to happen and their decision days.
Right. Cause they're done with Unfiltered. It's like, what could they even reveal on this episode? So, I didn't tune into that though. Did you?
I did not.
Okay. Yeah.
I couldn't be any less interested. I was like, no, I'm ready for decision day.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if this was like, I don't know. Anytime it's past couples talking about the current season, I'm like, that's just what we do on this podcast.
Right. You know? And I don't I don't trust that they're not checking spoilers. Like, they're so in the community, you know, like that they just wouldn't hear from somebody, you know, their friends probably, they're probably friends with, you know, past producers, yeah, like Bachelorette contestants are. So it's like, okay, you're just saying yes to a TV opportunity, but are you really like coming in just with your analysis, or is it just like, yeah, you have some inside info and
I
don't really trust it.
Like, for all we know, they've already started the next season of Couples Cam. And, you know, like, those couples already know, you know, who is still to eat. So it's like, I'm just like, why? What's the point? Please tell me. Mm-hmm. But I guess this that content is like for people who don't listen to a podcast. They don't get any extra content outside of watching the show. And they're like, oh, well, this is on right after. Let me just keep the TV on and tune in.
Yep, definitely.
So yes, we are talking about episode 16. We are 1 week away. Last week, it is deja vu because last week we were 1 week away from decision day as well. So this week we are actually 1 week away from decision day. And this was all about the couples confiding in their loved ones as they head into decision day.
Yeah, so they got to bring in some other friends and family members. So I do like when they bring in these other people, but it seems like a little too late for anything to really change. It doesn't seem like any conversation swayed one way or the other. Like, it wasn't going to change someone's decision.
Exactly. Like, it seemed like something you should have done at the midway point to kind of have time to, you know, change the course of things if that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah, because I think they do. Really, they can really make a difference. They can give really good advice if it's early enough on, like in the first half.
Yeah, exactly. And before we dive into it, I do want to shout out a review that we got. So if you guys are enjoying our podcast and you're enjoying this content, definitely go out to wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star review and let us know what you like about it. So we did get on our own feed because our feed is live now. So you could find that at Married at First Sight Rehab Up, or you can subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/MAFS feed. We got a review from Memed55. I shouted them out a few podcasts ago because they also provided a review on the reality TV Rehab Ups feed. So they said, I love listening to Asia and Amy's recaps. Their podcast adds to my enjoyment of Married at First Sight. They also bring on a variety of great guests to add to the discussion. So glad they now have their own dedicated podcast feed for this great coverage.
Awesome.
Thank you so much.
I had to subscribe to our own podcast. I wasn't sure that the feed was live or not. So.
Yes, we do have, right now we have episodes 11, 14, and 15. For some reason, there's an issue with the feed with getting the rest of the episodes from the season on. But they should be on in a matter of time. But for now, our newest episodes will be on our feed as well as reality TV Rehab Ups.
Awesome.
So we're going to kick it off and get started with a couple that we've been super optimistic about. But then they raised some flags for us this episode. We're going to go with Gil and Mirla.
Yeah, this was really content heavy for them.
Yeah, it's like these were, I guess, because the issues that we saw them talk about were consistent from the beginning of their relationship. And I guess it would have just been the same thing the whole time throughout if they continued to talk about it or they continue to focus on it heavily on the episodes. But it's a pretty big deal. So we saw Mirla talked to her friend. She said that Gil is very patient because she needs somebody who's patient because she's a handful, which we all know. She said the only con has been their finances because they have drastically different incomes. He doesn't have a savings. And she's realized like she's very established in her career and he's just starting out as a firefighter. And so she's realizing that he can't live at the lifestyle that she wants to live. Because of kind of where he's at, and she realizes this is a problem. because she's kind of in a place where, you know, because she's established in her career, she is making a certain amount and he's kind of starting over. And so she's, I think at one point she said like, okay, am I supposed to just start over? Like you're 25 or, you know, so this is a big, concern of hers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we knew this was kind of a concern the whole time. Like it, but I almost wonder if they were pulling a bunch of kind of conversations from the entire course of their relationship. Like, did this all happen this week?
Right.
Or is it like, okay, now we can finally create some kind of story because we're just, you know.
Right. Yeah, maybe some confessionals have been at different points, like maybe after they went to brunch or, you know, after they've talked about the fact, you know, like that he didn't have a savings or that they save differently. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we can get into it after they have their conversation, but I definitely see where Mirla is coming from, but I don't think that it's an impossible situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Mirla was expecting someone that made more money than her. So this is not something that, you know, because everyone talks about like what they asked for. So, you know, she obviously gave them the info that she doesn't want to change her lifestyle, and the experts make their decisions based on, you know, compatibility, but also TV ratings, or, you know, it seems like they always find some conflict. They can't make a perfect match. So, and I think Gil probably came in thinking like, he would be fine either way. If someone made more, someone made less, made the same, and, you know, maybe expecting that they would value or see him like his career as ambitious and see him like in a different light as well, and not kind of undervalue that he's bringing to the table, and be maybe more like not as into material things is kind of what seems like he is looking for, or just not as, I don't know, more budget conscious or something. So they have this conflict. And it just seems like both of them, it's like, well, I just don't want it to affect me. And he, you know, can't be the sole provider if she makes twice as much as him.
Right.
And she doesn't want to change her lifestyle. So it is going to be like an ongoing thing, but I don't think it's like, if they're committed to each other, I think it's something that they can an ongoing thing they're working on as well.
Right. Especially because later on they get into the fact that Gil's mom, when Gil was talking to his mom, she said like communication is the most important thing. She's like, do y'all communicate well? He's like, yeah, we communicate really well. And that is really important because it can be hard to find someone to communicate well with. And the fact that they have so many positives in their relationship, it's tough to see that this is the one con, but this con kind of turns into many cons because it has so many legs to it. Mm-hmm. So we did see them go skating. They had a great time. Looks like they rented out the skating rink or went early because there was like no one else there. They were holding hands, and it just showed why they have proved to be such a good match, because they have so much chemistry. They get along really well. They know how to have fun. They get each other's humor. And she said like this type of date makes it feel like he could be her forever. And so they sit down and talk, and Gil's like, you know, they're talking about the fact that decision day is soon. And he says like finances and the negativity are a really big deal for him. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of going on about how, you know, he's like, you know, sometimes, you know, you could be spoiled, and he's like, it kind of, you can also be a brat.
And, I didn't like that. That was a little too.
And she's like, I hear you, but I disagree. But I'm like, imagine if she just one time, like all these times he calls her, like all these names for, you know, she's, you know, a diva, she's a brat, or she's too much. Imagine if just one time she says one thing about him being cheap or something like that.
Yeah.
He would not like that one bit.
Yeah. Do you think he was coached a little bit to like be a little harsher or something because they seem like they don't have much content from them? Because normally it was like, well, you're a princess. And she liked that title. Like he gave her a t-shirt, you know, and stuff. But to be like, you're a brat about it.
Yeah. That not only makes it seem like she is too whiny, but it also makes it seem like she's younger and immature, which I'm like, immature is not anything I would describe as Mirla.
Right.
I love Mirla. Like she has been such a joy to watch. And I love how she's unapologetically herself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was totally turned off by the brat comment. And he was like, well, you have to live in a high rise. She's like, no, I want to because I can. And I was like, yes, I totally understand. It's like she has worked hard for where she's at. And it's not like she just spends irresponsibly to the point where, oh my gosh, I just spent so much on red bottoms that I can't pay my rent. That's irresponsible. Mm-hmm. But she has a sufficient savings. She makes enough to know how to manage her money, or like she makes a lot of money. And with that, she has learned how to manage her money properly. So I just feel like just because he doesn't value money doesn't mean that she can't enjoy the money that she's made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating.
Yeah. On the other hand, I can see where he's coming from in that it's like you are in a marriage now. So to come in as two partners and one person wanting like to not touch any of their, it seems like his impression is that she's just keeping all her money and keeping her lifestyle exactly the same, not changing anything. Mm-hmm. But then he's supposed to be paying all the bills too,
mm-hmm.
for both of them, you know?
Yeah. That's why I was like there. That's why compromise is a thing. It's like, okay, we both need to be upfront about how much you make, how much I make, how are we going to make this work? Whether it's, okay, if he's responsible for the bills, because he told his mom that she's pretty traditional and that's what she wants is the guy to be pay for the bills. Then it's like, okay, because I know that's how you're allocating your income, then maybe we figure out what's the entertainment, the fun, the splurging budget on my end. Because she has not once said that he can't spend any of her money.
Right.
Like she's never said, I'm not going to share. This is mine and that's yours, which is what he's acting like. Because he's like, he's making it seem like there's no money left for him at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, maybe he does feel like, well, I don't want to have to rely on her to share money. I guess that's why Jose says most marriages end in divorce because of finance. Just going to quote Jose's wise words. Total sarcasm. But it's like, I don't know. So at the skating, she goes on to say like, you know, where she came from is her motivation every day. And he's like, I feel like you forget where you come from and you just like, you know, basically just like forget anyone who lives like that now. And she's like, no, this is my motivation every day. And he said, you know, life isn't always about expensive gifts and stuff. And, you know, if that is what life is going to be about for you, then that's not somebody I would want to be with. And it's just, I don't know. I think it's just all compromise.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's an impossible situation. The fact that they have lived such different lifestyles up to this point, I think it just needs to be, this is how I want, like, okay, you know that I like to shop. So if we were to create a budget for that, would that make you feel more comfortable? But then, you know, that would feel tough for her because she's like, okay, yes, I have been able to spend how I want up to this point. But she would have to see as well that like, okay, that would make him feel more comfortable if we're going to spend his money that way, or the money that he makes that way. I think they just need to have more of a together mentality about these dollars, and that would make them feel better because he just thinks that she's so money motivated. She needs it. She needs to be able to spend all the time, which I don't think that's the case. That's just how she likes to enjoy her money. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it seems like he's coming from, he's worried that is that all she values in life? Like, maybe it's a more mm-hmm. superficial thing. And so I think they have to have a discussion about their values. That he's maybe thinking, like, down the road, is that, like, something that is she's going to instill in the kids that, like spoil the kids or something like that, instead of maybe having a more humble way to, like, raise kids or something. And then, but then she'll say things like, he's not motivated at all, he's not ambitious, which I don't think is true either. So mm-hmm. I think they're almost like projecting different values onto, or characteristics onto the other without really getting mm-hmm. deeper with it and talking about it. Cause I think they're both kind of generalizing about each other.
Yes, that's what it is. They are generalizing too much, and then it leaves all this room for the other to assume things. So, you know, for her to say, like, oh, I'd love to shop, he's like, okay, all she spends her money on is shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than let's take a look at your your bank account. Okay, let's just look at last month. Okay, this is how much money you spent on shopping, this is how much you spent on, you know, because then he's able to have a realistic view. So it's just, if they were able to realize that there is a point in the middle, because even all of these discussions with the experts have been, well, let's talk about her negativity. I mean, her negativity isn't divorce worthy for him. It's mainly the finances. It'd be like, I feel like it's 75-25. He complains more about her being money hungry or motivated by money mm-hmm. than her being negative. So right. I don't know. I just feel like that's what should have been the main focal point. I really hope it's not divorce worthy, mm-hmm. but now they have me so nervous.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
So yeah, Gil did talk to his mom over FaceTime.
That was cute combo.
It was really cute. Yes, they were speaking Spanish. And this is when he tells her, like, you know, Mirla does want him to pay the bills because she comes from a traditional family. And his mom is just focusing on, look, y'all have good communication. That's the most important. Did you pick up anything else from their conversation?
No, I just like their relationship. I thought, you know, it was just like heartwarming. And I thought the show really dedicated a lot of time to it, which I was surprised because it was mm-hmm. in Spanish. Yes. So they had to caption everything. And yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that conversation. It was really sweet. You could tell that him and his mom have a really good relationship, which is why I think he is the most respectful husband in terms of how he treats Mirla day to day. Mm-hmm. I think that's definitely rooted from his great relationship with his mom. Mm-hmm. But then he has his moments, like calling her a brat. they have their last night. They spend their last night together. He said there are doubts that are holding him back. He does thank her for not judging him for the struggles he has shared with her along the way. She does say it's going to be weird waking up without him tomorrow because, you know, as the night before the decision day, all of the couples stay by themselves, not with their partner. She does tell him, she's like, I just want you to know, like, I don't have any regrets about this experience. And then she tells like us that, you know, the marriage is not what she originally pictured. And she doesn't know. She honestly doesn't know what she'll say on decision day because they are driven by different things. So,
yeah. I thought that there was one clip of her that I was definitely like, I think this is from, you know, middle of the, you know, maybe like when they do the middle of the season kind of check in, because it was just like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And it just seemed like it didn't have the warmth of like how she talks about Gil now. And I was just thinking like, yeah, she probably had no idea back then because they hadn't even kissed yet. And
yeah,
you know, because there's no way they don't know. And then when he's talking about, oh, she's probably like just picking her outfit, not concerned at all. And I think it's because they know that they're going to say yes.
Right.
They're just trying
I would hope there's no surprises. And let's see. The couples did all get together to talk later at the end of the episode. And the only thing that Gil said was the only thing that would make him say no on decision day was that if she continues to live like she's single. I would just like him to clearly lay out to her, which I know we're at decision day at this point, but leading up to it, if he had clearly spelled out what he means by living like she's single, you know, is that because he kept, like you said, he was generalizing, like not shopping all the time. Okay, what does that realistically look like? You know, and not, oh, buying one pair of shoes a year. Even I don't do that. Like, I'm not a crazy one pair, seriously. You know, like, it's like, you know, I think that there's being realistic. And then there's what Gil was doing. So we did see on the preview for the decision day, he said, we've already consummated our marriage, but I'm pretty sure he's joking.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like that would be a huge shocker.
It would. Or it would be weird of him to say it if she has been so like not wanting to reveal that. And
yeah,
but I don't know. I could go either way with that.
Yeah. If he's not joking, I'm shocked.
Okay.
I will be shocked.
It did look like she was kind of rolling her eyes or something, you know, like,
right.
It could be a joke. Like they love we've consummated our marriage and like, we've French kissed or something.
Or it could be him saying like, you know, sitting here, it would be different if we were sitting here, like we've consummated our marriage.
They love to do that. <know?
laughs> They do. So I refuse to let Married at First Sight, you know, mess with my emotions.
Before I forget, I want to know, who do you think, cause I might forget asking this otherwise. Who do you think Pastor Cal is talking about when he's like, what the hell was that?
Oh, I think without a doubt, Zach and Michaela.
Okay.
Only because of this man's explanation of saying no and yes on decision day. And like,
yeah, what the hell does that mean?
We see on the preview, Zach reading a letter to Michaela, right? And if he does say no, I could see it being like, he's like, you're this wonderful woman, but no, but we know that for him, no means not right now.
Right.
Gosh. I think maybe them. I can't see any other couple.
Like they, came to some sort of weird alternate definition of no and yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. We'll definitely.
I thought it was Zach or Johnny. I was like, it could be either one of those two.
Yeah, like maybe if like Johnny was just being quiet and not present or something. Like I think it's because the way Pastor Cal said it.
Explanations of why it doesn't work out, you know.
Like, yeah. Like Sarah said, I think it's because Pastor Cal, the way he said that was like he was disappointed. So mm-hmm. it's kind of, I think it's like, okay, I have high hopes for this couple. And then like, maybe it turned out a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is Zach and Michaela. Mm-hmm. Did you have another guess before that?
Yeah. Just between Zach and Johnny, I was just torn 50-50. Mm-hmm.
Got them. Yeah. All right. So this is our final rating. One being they're going to get divorced. Five being they're going to stay together on decision day. What would you rate Gil and Mirla?
I'm going to stick with positivity, saying that there are five, with the note that there are five because on decision day, I think they're definitely both going to say yes. But mm-hmm. I could see this couple going kind of the way of like a Tom and Lily, where you're like, oh, everything's good. And then 4 years down the line or something, like several years later, it's like, okay, we tried it. And, you know, where you almost like don't count it as a divorce because of the show, but just like, it's just a shorter term marriage.
Right, right. Yeah, I could see a situation where Gil says yes and Mirla says no.
Hmm.
I don't know about the opposite. I think if he says no, I don't think that she would say yes. Mm-hmm. I think if they both said no, I think if he says no, she would say no. It depends on the order.
I don't know that any have really ever switched it up in the last minute, because I think the producers know who's mm-hmm. going to, if it's split, they have the yes person go first, you know, for dramatic effect. Right. So.
Right. It's like, do they make them tell them their answer, like final answer?
Yeah. I think you know,
when they come in. So maybe, I'm going to go four, because I don't think that it's 100% possibility that Mirla will say yes. She really concerned me, but I do think she realizes that Gil is good for her in every other way, except for their perspective on finances.
Mm-hmm.
And there's financial counselors out there. I'm sure Dr. Viviana could hook them up with somebody
mm-hmm.
and get on the same page and figure this out, because Gil is so patient. Mirla is Mirla. And so I think it could work.
Yeah. I hope so.
All right. So let's see. Which couple do you want to talk about next?
Let's talk about Brett and Ryan. And I do want to say, like, we give them a hard time because they are the most boring, but it's all on Ryan. I always want to punch him. I really like Brett, and mm-hmm. I like her style. Like, I like when she, like, I like her wardrobe. She can, like, really get dolled up. And I think she's really, like, what she's gone through, great attitude. The fact that she, like, gives him the time of day and, like, treats him, like, friendly.
And yes.
Just what she's had to endure with losing Baxter. It's just so much. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, I'm hoping the best for her after this experience. Like, she just has a great attitude about it. And I just got really annoyed with Ryan this episode almost even more, because I saw him on Unfiltered and it seemed like he was really remorseful. And I don't think his apology lived up to the way he's talking about it, you know, in later time, you know. So we see that he's playing tennis with a friend, and his buddy is kind of giving him, like, just sort of questioning, you know, is it better to start all over, or is there any mm-hmm. like repair that can be done? And it just seems like Ryan's really checked out and just doing that attitude that I thought he kind of had, where it's like, oh, can you believe I got, you know, married at first sight, and mm-hmm. yeah, I don't regret it, because it was an experience, and but not taking any real responsibility for being on the dating app and acknowledging that he should have put more effort into this relationship. Then we find out from Brett that he, after that discussion, like, he just took all his stuff, the coffee maker, moved out. Like, he just was so checked out.
So unfortunate.
Yeah, I was so annoyed at him.
And I feel so bad for her because it's not like she did anything. It was like just unattraction on his end.
He'll at least say like he felt bad because she didn't do anything wrong, and like he still will like feel that she's a great person. But he didn't make any effort when there was any sort of like, as soon as things were not perfect, like as soon as they, like he saw that she had anxiety and that they weren't consummating the marriage, or it just like seemed like was so quick to discount it. Because if you look back and see like their wedding day clip, like he's so like, he's attracted to her, like, you know, so it's not like, they had a great wedding. But yeah, he did not keep an open mind. So I like that Brett kind of called that out about herself, that she realized that she was more open-minded than she thought that she could, you know, be open to someone that wasn't exactly her type. And I like when she was talking to her sister, like her sister was like, well, you didn't get exactly what you asked for either. And Brett was like, thank you. Because it does seem like it's always like put on like, oh, that he's not attracted to her.
Yeah, exactly.
She was putting effort. Like, she was kind of, she was not into like what he was into, and he wasn't her physical type, but she could acknowledge that he's an attractive guy. So like, she was like saying that she would have, no matter who it was going to put all her effort in and see what she could to make it work. And that, I definitely believe that for her.
Yeah, that's what they need to make sure every single person who's going through this agrees to. That no matter who you put in front of me, like, I don't need it to be some type of checkbox on a questionnaire that they do. Like, oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But no, it needs to be a conversation of like, you do understand that we may give you someone who you may not be initially attracted to, or you do understand there may be something you don't like about this person. But I do want you to understand that you should give this 100% effort. Try to make it work, and promise us up front that you're going to do what you need to do to see it through, to see if this person is truly your match. Because I just like, we can't do this. I bet you, if you said, Ryan, you have 5 minutes, tell me everything you know about Brett, he would not make it to minute five.
Right. Like,
and I can't even do that with him or her for a minute. And we've been talking about them for 16 weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like, how have we 16 weeks, 2 hour episodes. So
this is, I just saw like her, like the Chiron where it's like, she's a volleyball coach. And I'm like, oh, did I even know that about her? Like, did we ever see her playing volleyball at all? Right. Like, did she ever take him to play volleyball? Like, it was always doing what he wanted to do. And she, her putting the effort in to do what he wanted to do. And then he has the gall at the end, like when they're all like together, he's just kind of removed off with Johnny and just saying like, I don't, something about like he didn't compromise himself or whatever, that it's just like, again, like the ego, like I'm going to just listen to my emotions and I've gone off with what I feel. And that's what I'm going to do for decision day as well. It's like, no, you don't just go off a feeling. Like, this is, you don't just have a, like, you don't get married at first sight because of a feeling, you know, like you have to really analyze if that's right for you. And that probably was what it was for these guys. They're just like, you know, Tinder isn't working out for me right now. Like, it's the pandemic. Why don't I? Yeah, I feel like this could be fun. And I don't know how they screened for it, because it's such an easy answer when you're in casting to just be like, oh, yeah, like I'm really committed to this process. I don't know how you can really check on that.
Right. It's like, unless you have a, like an extensive conversation with each person on that alone, like, we're not going to go off topic. We're only focused on the fact that this may not be your Prince Charming or your perfect princess. It's like, how do you get that commitment? I have no idea.
Yeah. Because what do you do if you're not attracted? What do you do if they're not attracted to you? And almost like get them to like situational interview them about like, what would you do in this situation, and then intervene earlier on, like after the honeymoon, be like, okay, this is what you told us, here's a clip of you saying this. And because it just seemed like the only time he put any effort in was right after meeting with Dr. Pepper at the 11th hour, was like, okay. And it seemed like he was only concerned about how he appeared, how he, mm-hmm. that he looked like a decent guy. And that's why he was upset that of what happened with the dating app. It's more that, oh, like, I don't like that she felt that way, but I don't really like that, how it looked kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's clear that he did not, was just doing it for show.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I could have been more respectful. duh. Mm-hmm. We know that. And then his poor attempt at an apology at the end of the episode. Like, what was that? Like, I feel so dumb. I feel bad for making you feel this way. Like, I never intentionally meant to hurt you. Where is the, I'm so sorry for not showing you respect. I'm so sorry for what I have put you through these past 8 weeks and not giving you a chance. I'm so sorry that I never sat down and really got to know you to see why we were matched in the first place.
Yeah, I never communicated when I was having doubts about anything.
Yes. Ugh. She thanked him for the apology, but I was like, Brett, I'm so glad that you do not have to stick with him.
Right.
Right. Oh, gosh. Anything else on them? I guess, did they say anything in the group?
Yeah, that's where she said like what she learned about herself. And
yeah,
like, she actually, I think she rightfully gave herself kind of a humble brag. Like, I wasn't mm-hmm. sure I could do this, and I did do this. And he was, just nothing. Like,
yeah.
Again, it's like he's just always standing in the corner, like worried that he's going to look bad because he can't help it. There's like his actions, like, sort of like, how do I get out of this situation? Like, it's more just, all about him because mm-hmm. he's probably just thinking about, this isn't going to look great the last two episodes of the show.
Right.
And it's clear that he's going to wants to start back over. He couldn't get away from those dating apps. And mm-hmm. the way he even described to his friend, like, oh, is it better to like start all over or like really force something that isn't working? It just seemed like so dramatic for it didn't seem like they had that many issues. It was just all in his head.
Right. If if he had any of the real issues that some of these other couples had, he would have been like, oh my gosh, what's going on? They had literally had the least amount of issues of any couple.
Yeah. Oh, and then he tried to claim too with his friend when his friend's like, well, you know, it didn't work out all these other times. And he was trying to justify it. Yeah, but I know why it didn't work out now. Like almost like he's going back in history like, oh, okay. Well, actually, there's nothing really wrong with that relationship except this one thing. And I know what I did wrong. So I think mm-hmm. he's thinking like that he can go back to, you know, an ex, kind of what his sister hinted at, or, you know, go into a new relationship. And I think he's just viewing it as like, okay, I'm going to take what I can learn from this situation, but just gave up like 2 weeks in.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my goodness. He is just, he was a hoot. I did like that Brett said, you know, when they were all together, she's like, you know, cause you know, weighing both sides, you know, I would say yes on decision day if, you know, we were both treating each other with respect and then like going on and on about all these positives, she'd be like, and I would say no, if we weren't.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, okay. We know your answer.
It's kind of like how Zach, like, you could totally predict his answers. Because like Zach was saying, like, if everything was happy and I was totally content with everything that went down and there were no issues the whole way through, then I would say yes. Like, okay, well, that's not true of anyone. So
right. Exactly. So what would you rate them?
Zero.
One. Same.
Yeah.
One. We've been ones on them since episode 12.
Okay.
So episode 11, Jason and I were a one, but you were a two. It was like hanging on that little bit of hope, like maybe it's not all gone. And I like the optimism. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we're one, do you think that Ryan will be in a relationship by the reunion?
he would have gone on many dates. I don't know. The problem is guys on these shows, like, just have much more luck after the fact. I feel like they're just like, oh, you were on TV. Like, they can always find, like, it's just at that age, like, I feel like it's harder, like, for women to find a guy on these apps at that age. So I just feel like he will be in some sort of relationship. And I also feel like if they got to the point of wanting to be married at first sight, like guys like Johnny and Ryan are going to jump into something just to, like, have that feeling again, I think.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is already much better. So,
exactly. They're like, oh, well, I know that I'm attracted to this person. So that's one step in the right direction. I know I'm ready for marriage because I've already been married now. So of course I'm there. So this is going to be great.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. So yeah, I didn't really remember anything from the next time on specifically with Brett and Ryan from Decision Day.
No, I think they all know what's going to happen with them.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's at the point where no expert intervened at this, like, dating app thing, like, I think there was a question that I totally know was directed at. It looked like it was directed at Jose, but I think it was directed at Ryan, where it was like, why did that happen? Or why did you do that kind of thing? I think they'll talk about that. That will be the bulk of what they talk about on Decision Day, is just, like, grilling him about, like, why would you do that?
Right, right. So Brett and Ryan, we never knew them. I think the most interesting thing will be probably from the reunion, because we'll get to see Brett have her real thoughts. She's probably not going to sugarcoat anything. And I really hope that she's happy. So next, I say we move on to a couple who I also don't know what's going to happen. Similar to Mirla and Gil, I will say I don't know what's going to happen with this couple. I think if I had to have hope in two couples to stay together, it would be Mirla and Gil and Rachel and Jose. But I'm torn about both of them. If it's going to be like 100% yes, you know, there's no Brianna and Vincent this season, where we know without a doubt, like Woody and Imani, we know there's going into Decision Day. They literally are so solid. They can joke about getting divorced, you know, where it's like none of them are solid enough to joke and say like, oh, I want to get divorced, and the other laugh about it. No, because that's a very real possibility. So let's move on to Rachel and Jose. They did have like a joking back and forth that, like, he said he would take a bullet for her and she would take a bullet for him. And he thought that was shocking. He's like, you would? And she's, yeah, I would take a bullet for you.
This is where I wanted to, like, reach on the screen. Why? Right. He's supposed to do it for you.
Yes. I'm like, listen to the little voice in the back of your head. I feel like every time Rachel is on the verge of realizing that there are some important differences or important deal breakers, at least for her, she just kind of like falls back to, but he's the perfect guy for me. He's exactly what I was looking for. So I don't know. We saw her getting drinks. It was with her sister, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I missed the cry on, but I was like, yeah, I think that's her sister. So she feels very comfortable and loved with him. She's weighing the pros and cons at the moment. So the cons are the ones that we know. He doesn't listen, and that big blow up, because she really fears that that could happen again. And that could mean the end of their relationship. She tells her sister about the note cards, about like his reminders, basically don't deadbolt the lock on his wife. And his sister's like, okay, those note cards are trash. Like, he shouldn't have to be reminded not to do those things. And Rachel really feels that she's naive to think that, you know, something like that big blow up won't happen again.
Right.
Yeah, and definitely. I think she's right.
Every time they see it, like, they show it again and I see it, it's just like, oh yeah, that's even worse than I remember.
Yeah, it's like that was pure outrage. Like, imagine you do something he actually doesn't like. Like, for example, it's the summer. You're not teaching, right? So he is working and you want to take a trip to Jamaica for a few days. He doesn't want to go, but you want to go. So you're like, well, hey, I have a couple of girlfriends who want to go. I'm gonna go ahead and book the flight. And then you tell him about it. And then he's pissed because he's like, no, we don't do vacations like that. You know, like you don't know what's going to set him off, especially when it comes to money, because he is so on top of his finances. I think, you know, the fact that he blew up over her calling him Johnny means that he could blow up over anything.
Yeah. What if like an actual issue? Like, I don't know. The whole like her staying at her ex's, mm-hmm. If he didn't already have that blow up, imagine what he would have done. Like, I think he was just sort of tempered because he was being filmed and they're getting to the finish line, you know? And it's like,
we're so close. He's like, if I don't do that one more time, I only have 1 week and then I can let loose and get mad whenever I want.
Yeah.
So that's a genuine concern she should have. Like, it definitely could happen again. And she was so upset by that, as she should, that she was like, I cannot be married to you. And so I just really hope he's just not biting his tongue until he can just let his hair down and fly free. So he met with his friend and he said there are some things he still doesn't have answers to. He likes that she's a sports fan and he feels like she's a really good teammate. He likes the little things she does, like, oh, you don't have a lunch, here's a lunch. But the reasons for him not to stay would be her being faithful and communication. He's like, yeah, with communication, I mean, she told me I cannot be your wife. So, man, like, I mean, she went there. Jose, that's like saying, oh my gosh, my house burnt down, the nerve of my house when I left the gas stove on, you know, like let's focus on why that happened. I was like, are you kidding me? Is he honestly blaming her communication style on saying I cannot be your wife, blaming that on her? That's literally just like Michaela being mad at Zach saying he left. He knows I have an issue with abandonment and he left. Girl, what happened before that? What led to that? You're acting as if any reaction isn't a result of something else. And I know it kind of sounds, I mean, I hope it doesn't sound hypocritical by saying like, oh, Jose got mad and that was because she called him Johnny, but come on. That's not cause for that. For calling him another cast member's name, that's not the same situation at all. So it's just like, it was so frustrating hearing him try to justify her communication as a reason not to stay.
That's just Jose gonna Jose. Yeah.
So frustrating. I was just like, no, what? And I wish that I went there. There were a lot of restaurants they went to on this restaurant or on this episode that they didn't have the name for. So I was like, I need to know.
Yeah, they look good.
Like, research purposes. But it was, yeah, that was so frustrating because I was like, no, I think that only showed that he's for sure going to say yes. Mm-hmm. But with her, I'm still on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't even the best part of their segment. So they had dinner and she's feeling great. Cause she's like, I can't forget the first time I saw him. And he feels very confident with where they're at. And he said, like, before her, he lived a very boring life while he was single. And he starts, and I could not follow this. I know we touched on it a little bit earlier. He just out of nowhere starts talking about how social media is why so many people are single because they're traveling and living the YOLO lifestyle. What was the transition? How did we even get on that conversation?
Yeah, I don't know.
It was like I couldn't follow at all.
Yeah,
it was weird. It was weird. But basically, he says that and she's like, OK, well, here I she's I disagree. I think that, you know, I want one big trip every other year. And this is Rachel compromising because we already know she really likes to travel. She would love one big trip a year or maybe two, one in the fall, one in the spring, or one, you know, one in the summer, one in the winter, something like that. Mm-hmm. So she's like, I want one big trip every other year, like Switzerland, Thailand, you know, like exotic places. These are all places outside of the U.S. This man says, well, I want to go like to like San Antonio or Fredericksburg. OK, for those that don't know, San Antonio and Fredericksburg are 4 hours from Houston, a 4 hour drive. You would look foolish to get in a plane and fly there because you could probably drive faster than the process it takes to get onto a plane, get there, get your bags and everything. San Antonio and Fredericksburg's, I'm sorry, they are not vacations. They're trips. They're weekend trips. Yeah. I literally went to Fredericksburg September. Me and my friends are like, oh, you know, I want to do something, but nothing big. Let's go to Fredericksburg. We planned it quick, went one weekend and then came back. How is he equating Fredericksburg, Texas, which is like the Texas wine country, basically, Fredericksburg, Texas, to Thailand?
Yeah, it really fell for her when she was like he basically like killed a part of her, kind of, like, because he just has no interest. Like, it's just odd to me. It's like Jake the past season. Like, yeah, Haley was just like, I have to travel all the time. It was a little over the top, but to be just like, I have no interest. And I think there are people that it's like, if they've never done it, if they didn't do it as a kid, they just, it doesn't enter their mind until they maybe have the trip. And then they're like, oh, this is so much fun. Like, now I have the bug. And
yeah,
but I'm starting to see that they can't, like, the travel thing is becoming one of these other like compatibility things that, which is surprising to me because I'm just so used to like seeing everybody say, oh yeah, travel. I don't know. Like, it just seems like a weird thing to be anti or ambivalent about.
Yeah. It's so wild. It's just, I don't know. I just feel like unless you have like a fear of planes, maybe.
Yeah.
Then that's like a genuine concern. Yeah. Yeah. But it just sounds like he hears vacation and he thinks dollar signs and he's like, that's too much money. Can't do it. Sorry. Can't swing it.
Yeah. Maybe it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, I never really got into this, so why would I want to introduce something that's just going to be like a money suck? Like, if I'm already like okay without it, maybe he sees it sort of like that. Like, I'm just going to say no. But because he could just say something like, okay, we can't do a big trip every year, but what if we did a ski trip, like, and we compromise and then we have a big trip every 2 years, or even just something like that, or like, don't worry, we'll definitely go to Europe together. I just don't know if this year it's going to happen, you know, something like that. Like, I can see that's really important to you. Like, I'm really looking forward to it. I want to like have that experience with you, but he won't acknowledge that at all. And it's just like these other cities in the US is his only, his only solution.
Right. He throws in Vegas. He's like, yeah, we could go to Vegas for the first time together. She's like, okay, I don't consider those trips. And I was like, yes, Rachel, thank you. He's like, well, I do want to go skiing. Saying like, okay, let's go to like Colorado or somewhere where you can ski, you know. And she's like, I don't want that to be our trip of the year. And he's proving he's not listening because she's genuinely like, no, we don't see eye to eye right now. And he's like, oh, but I do want to go to Nashville. You know, like, it's like he just he's focusing on places in the U.S. he wants to go, where the bigger conversation is, can we travel abroad together?
Yeah, that's my pet peeve when it's just like so like U.S. centric is like the only idea people have of travel, which I associate with like when I was in college, there were a lot of students that had that, and it was just like they couldn't even open their mind that you can go anywhere else. But he's 35 years old.
And, yes.
And I mean, I think his parents were immigrants, right? Or he has like, does he travel anywhere outside of the U.S.? Like, would he want to go to Latin America or where he might be like have heritage? Like, it doesn't seem like he's like interested in any of it.
Right. I can't remember on the, when they visited his family, I think that's possible. When he mentioned how they
like his dad built their,
and they built their house from the ground up, or like they got their house built. And so, it's not even like you mentioned he's 35. It's not like, oh, I've done all my traveling in my 20s. I'm ready to just like relax. I don't, you know, stay put. But he's not even considering Canada, Mexico, Latin America, Central America. Like there are options here, but he is so stuck on traveling throughout Texas. I'm sorry, Jose. If you need to travel through Texas, just take a weekend. Go do it. No one's stopping you to go drive to San Antonio. You know, like if going to a different city in Texas is a vacation, I vacationed to Dallas. I vacationed to Dallas like maybe 4 times in the past couple of months. So not to toot my own horn, just vacationing like crazy to Dallas. Mm-hmm. That is a very frustrating conversation because she feels crushed and he has no idea. He just thinks they had another casual conversation about traveling.
Yeah.
So they had their last night together and she said that, you know, she won't know until she sleeps in her own bed alone what she's going to do on decision day. So he's a little nervous.
Yeah. Again, though, I'm just a little skeptical that maybe they were given lines. Like, we know that she likes to joke and say, like, what was the thing she joked about with the camera? Like, oh, we had a huge fight or something, you know? Or
oh, yeah, and we're still in love. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and they really didn't reveal much during the group when the group was all together. All Jose kind of added was that, you know, if he doesn't see the marriage prolonging beyond, like far beyond decision day, then he wouldn't say yes on decision day. Mm-hmm. Basically, none of this Zach business.
Yes.
So what, do you have anything else to add for Rachel and Jose?
I would say, I don't know. I think, again, I think it's just kind of misdirect. I would be shocked if they didn't say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would be too. I think that a night alone would not be enough to change her mind about saying yes. I just don't see it lasting if they do say yes.
Yeah.
I see them being a situation. They say yes on decision day. Wonderful. Next day, blow up, reunion. Yeah, we're not together anymore. One of those blows happen again. And I couldn't do it. So I'm afraid of that because they're not confronting the bigger issues they have either. One, because he's not listening in the conversation. And two, they just decide to brush past it and move on because they haven't even revisited the difference in finances. And that, I mean, as we see with Gil and Mirla, it's proving to be a big conversation that they've just kind of put on the back burner.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, this travel conversation is basically one of the legs on that finance conversation because that's the whole reason he does not want to travel.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I fear for them if they do stay together, but for purposes of our ratings is based on if they do on decision day. So I think she may have doubts and she may consider, but then she'll think back to her single life and she's like, well, being with him is a little bit better than that. So I could see her leaning towards, I'll say yes, because I don't want to, if I say no, I'm going back to that.
Mm-hmm.
Which nothing wrong with being single, but the single life and being on the search can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you give them as a rating?
I would give them a 5 for decision day.
Yeah. Even though I think she has doubts, I think her doubts are less than Mirla's doubts. So I also agree with a 5. I think that for her to change her mind, it would have to come over time, not one night, maybe a few months or something like that. Once they go through a few hardships, I could see her coming to the realization, but not like, oh, tomorrow I'm done.
Yeah. And it worried me when it just seems like they wanted to get back to kind of the magic of like their, because they were like the golden couple for a little while there. Mm-hmm. And they had that huge blow up. And then the way she just kind of dismissed it when she was talking, like, oh, I learned, like, I used to end relationships after a fight. And I learned that I could just not break up after that fight. Yeah. And it's like, but maybe that was bad. Maybe your other relationships, it was a minor fight. Who knows? But
yeah.
Maybe there were all reasons that you, like, warning signs and red flags, and you don't always want to stay just to, like, I don't know. It just seemed like she was really like, we're all good now. Mm-hmm. And let us be the model couple again.
Yeah. Right.
Brushing it off. Yeah.
She's like, I learned that when someone tells me to get the F out and then they deadbolt the lock, that we can yeah. have a future.
It's just about the lock. It's just don't deadbolt. That was the whole underlying issue. Right. It wasn't about the respect or the name calling or swearing at her and making her leave to begin with.
Right. Oh, that would have been
pounding on the counter. Oh my gosh. This
is
all.
That's okay. I don't want to speak too boldly, but is that more disrespectful than downloading a dating app? Only reason I ask,
so, because it's like downloading, like he could have, it's not even like re-downloading it even probably. It's like it was on his phone. You know, like how you just like have to sort of like it's just a tap. It's just a tap. He's just like a little curious, like, oh, like I wonder if I've gotten any messages in this 8 weeks.
Who's out there?
Where like he wasn't like, to her face, like I don't know. Yeah, I would say it is more.
It wasn't putting her in danger. Like he legit went to bed not knowing where she slept. Like that's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's no concern for her safety. Where
He just dismissed her and was just like, yeah, leave. Like it was kind of like when Michaela was just like, go, bye. Because she was insane. Like I cannot stay married to you. Like, okay, fine. You know, like. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say. Yeah, there is not a single couple that has not been disrespectful to each other at some point or another.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, I'm also at a 5. Even with all of that being said, I do think they will decide to stay together, whether they should or not. They will make the choice to stay together on decision day. But then only time will tell. And I'm really excited for the reunion to see if they do last. If they do end up staying together.
Mm-hmm.
This couple, it's so funny. Like we've been like threes and fours with them throughout. We started doing fives around episode 13. That was our first 5 for them. Mm-hmm. And they had 1 week where we both gave them ones. That was episode 10, which was the episode with the blow up. But then outside of that, they're like threes and fours and fives.
Yeah.
So it's just like one little dip. Yes. So let's see. Who do you want to? We 2 couples left, which had a little bit of a intermingling or their stories crossed over in that group meeting. Which couple do you want to go to next?
Let's talk about Johnny and Bao.
Ready? Our favorite couple from week 1.
I know. This just bums me out to think about it.
Memories.
I think I'm like with Bao in the sense of like, it seemed like she was, there's at one point where she said like, I haven't said I was the luckiest woman to be married to Johnny Lamb. And I feel like she had that vision of what he was from like knowing him sort of distantly and just kind of like that, you know, that acquaintance level, like you just didn't know him very well, so he just had this aura about him. So she was like, wow, like I got that guy. And like I think he looked so great to us at the beginning, like wow, like this is gonna be such a great match, and he's just gonna have like these little quirks to work through. And now he was meeting with his friends, and the look of concern on their face, like it just looked like, oh no, Johnny's doing what he always does, and like he's gonna go through a divorce now. No, but they just like looked like, oh, I can't believe this. Like we and just sort of trying to get him to think about that there might be some good things about Bao, and just tell like Johnny's just checked out. He's knows what he wants to do, and he had that conversation with her, their mutual friend, and that's all that's in his head. And he claims like, oh, these guys can like sell me anything right now, sell me a timeshare, but you know, I have to think about what I want. And it's like, no, it's not like they're just trying to like convince you of something. They're trying to get you to reflect on you know, thinking this through. And you know, you've been on camera 90% of the time, and you know, maybe there's more, you know, once the cameras go away, like what's the harm in saying yes and trying it out a little further, which seems like what Bao wants to do. And I just feel so bad for Bao. It's like she keeps like trying to like look cute for him and put all this effort in, which is like, it's just not worth it. Like, and I think Johnny's just having fun at this point of like trying to tease the viewer or the producers, and just like, well, yeah, she looked really great. And
you know, so there could be a chance.
Like, and that's like, I feel like, because on Unfiltered, I was like, there's no way they're not together, because he's just so like complimentary of her on there, like in the earlier episodes. And it just seemed like, I don't know, but now it's just like, there's no way. He's just, the way he's speaking is like, she's this horrible person. There's no way they could. And the only credit he's really giving her is like, well, like it sparked some feelings. I don't know what type of feelings they were when we learned about her background, and I felt closer to her. And so I don't know if he's just like trying to come off as a good person too. And just, it makes my brain hurt figuring out what his motivations are.
Yeah, even she curled her hair this episode, which was so, it was a really cute look for her. I love that. And I was like, Johnny doesn't deserve to show up with her looking like that. She looked great. And even when they went on their date, when they went out to dinner, she still had that hairstyle, because we usually see her with the straight hair. But yeah, it's just, I'm glad Johnny's friends were aware of how he is. They're like, you know, they're aware that he's looking for something that may not exist. They're like, he's looking for somebody to check all the boxes, but that may not happen. And I mean, if your closest friends, this was the only one that they showed where they were. They were at the Carbach Brewing Company. So one of our breweries that are here. I haven't been there though. So they, you know, if they know you best and this doesn't surprise them, then it's time to take a step back and look at yourself. Period. Stop blaming Bao. Stop saying she's a different person behind closed doors. Stop saying, like, it's all shifting blame. And, you know, just leave Bao out of it. Just understand that you have these high expectations that may not be met. We did make a few steps forward last episode when he realized that he was more like his dad than he thought. But it's like, just stop. Stop with the toying with us. We know there is no world where you walk into decision day and say yes. I mean, what alternative universe are we living in where I wish I could be married to literally anyone else. That man is going to possibly say yes on decision day. Get out of here.
Yeah. I know. And, you know, to talk about jaw hitting the floor is when he was at the gathering and said, like, oh, you know, coming into this, I thought I was this easygoing guy. It's like, what? Like, you could see from your package that you were not easygoing.
Yeah. I'm like, that just, maybe he just never had a serious relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's like, oh my, what are, why are you talking about your feelings? That's not what's important here.
Right.
So I'm convinced he's never had a serious relationship. So this is all a shell shock for him.
Yeah, and it really does come across that he's just like any little thing. He's just in shock about.
Yeah. And the fact that he kept dwelling on like, yeah, when I went to her childhood home, I felt something. I'm like, why are you so numb to interactions with Bao? Mm-hmm. Like, where is the human decency? Why can't you just be fine with her as a person? Like, I mean, this is a person that you've been living with. Y'all have been interacting with each other. Like, can't you just care for her as a friend and just decide she's not best as your wife? If that's mm-hmm. what you, the solution you want to come to. Like, why do you have to be numb to her? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, so most cold. Think, yeah, it's almost like he hates her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, why? Where does that stem from?
She's not herself in front of the camera. Right. She's trying to break him down.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when he said it, he acted like he was trying when they went to dinner, he is just like, that conversation with Sarah is still in the back of my head. Mm. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you found one person to agree to your narrative.
Yep, to validate his feelings. He's like, oh, there it is. That, oh my gosh, 8 weeks. That's what I've been looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, we need to see who Sarah is.
Show your face, Sarah.
If they don't stay together, Johnny on at the reunion is like, yep, so I am in a relationship. Her name is Sarah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw someone on Twitter like showed a picture of the friend that Zach was dating from Zach and Mindy and was like, oh, we've seen this story before.
Right.
Like a friend of Mindy was talking to Zach, mm-hmm. trying to get in there. So yeah. What else did they have going on this episode?
Trying to think. Yeah, they get into sort of at the end a conversation about decision day, about mm-hmm. Bao saying that if he says no, it's like then it's over, which it's mm-hmm. I'm just surprised that Bao is so up in the air, like thinking there's a chance. It makes me feel sad.
Yeah, I know. Oh, because she even said, like, you know, we. Because she was talking about the fact that they've known each other for 15 years. She's like, we've missed out a lot in these 15 years to get to know each other better. Where mm-hmm. I'm like, girl, don't bring that up. Because he already thinks, like, if it didn't work out 15 years ago, it's not going right. to work out now.
Yeah.
Where she sees it as just lost time. He sees it as like, oh, there was a reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
But before getting in too much into Zach and Michaela, at the group together, Bao did say, like, I mean, she was going back and forth with Zach about his decision about why he would say yes and why he would say no. But Bao was basically explaining, like, she doesn't give a crap about the legality of it. Like, the fact that, like, if she says no, they're still technically married after decision day until they truly get a divorce. She says, like, if you say no, that's the end of it. That's the end of our relationship. And she's like, I don't give a crap about the legality. And Johnny's like, well, I see for Bao, like a no mean, he was like, I see for Bao what a no means. And it means something different for me. What do you say? I was like, how do you disagree with her? Like right. a no for you. You're going to say no and then go back and try to see if things work out with Bao. No, you've made it very clear. Bao is not your person. So why are you disagreeing just for the sake of disagreeing?
Yeah.
I thought that was so weird.
Yeah, just not somebody that should be in a relationship ever.
Period.
Like Sarah Carradine said, like, just we'll never be in a relationship again.
It's like, what? I don't even know if it was like, if we got all our guests together, we got Sarah, we got Kelsey, Mari, Jason, Jess. If we all came together to build a perfect person for Johnny, I don't even think we could do it. There would be something wrong with that person. You'd be like, no, you said she's a great communicator and I need an outstanding communicator. Oh, goodness. So let's see. Yeah, I think that was pretty much it for them on this episode. Heading into decision day, what would you rate them?
Again, got to go with the one.
Yeah, same. It's so unfortunate. I legit thought they were our couple this season.
Yeah, they were the golden one.
We were sadly mistaken. I mean, even on explosive episode 10, we gave them both fives. Or we both gave them fives. We were like, this is happening. They are it. They have consummated their marriage now. They're communicating great. I would say of all the couples, this would be the most, or this has been the most disappointing because I had such high hopes. Mm-hmm. Like literally wedding day was like, y'all are so perfect for each other. Literally both had that ceremony planned, had outfits planned, just were on the same page. It seemed, and then his honeymoon hit, and it just went downhill, and then went up for a little bit, and then Johnny decided to be Johnny. Mm-hmm. Oh, great, 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 great. So, last but not least, we did start with them the past couple of weeks, so we're ending with them this week. We're gonna go with Zach and Michaela. So Michaela met with her sister, and this is where we find out that, she's like catching her sister up, and she tells her like, you know, Zach did the one thing that I didn't want him to do, and that was leave. Like, this is once again, Jose being mad about Rachel saying that she doesn't want to be married anymore. She says that Zach thinks that she's a combative person. She talks about their conversation with Dr. Pepper. And then we find out that a couple hours after that, he invited her over to come eat. She felt like it was the first time that they've talked and like really understood each other because there were no production, no cameras, no nothing, just them. And then he asked her if she wanted to spend the night. And then her sister was like, oh my gosh, did you? She's like being very coy about it. And she's like, yeah, I did. she said they felt very normal without production. And Michaela's sister says, like, I don't think Zach knows what he wants and he needs to figure that out.
Yeah, this just strikes me as Michaela seeing it one way. And yes. Thinking this is all positive. And Zach seeing it as like, okay, this is a nice way to end things. We're going to end things on a positive note. Let's like this have one closure. More. Yeah. One more night together.
Yes. It's like, it's like, okay, with these other couples, we can kind of pinpoint the specific issue with them. I want to say it's how they approach conflict differently, but then it's like, they just always have such different perspectives on the situations they're in and then do it like they don't communicate it well to each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes, I mean, Michaela, she's been something else. She really has. And so I don't want to say this for both of them, but I feel like for Michaela, this would continue to be an issue in future relationships with how she communicates, because this is who she is. Like, I feel like she is being or has been being her true self. And I feel like with Zach, his communication style has been in response to a lot of interactions with her. And for some reason, I feel like he wouldn't be the same in a different relationship. Like, you throw Zach in five relationships, I don't think that he would behave the same or communicate the same as he has with Michaela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that Michaela would be consistent. Zach mentioned something about how she had those same behaviors that he was concerned about, but just wasn't held accountable for them, or, you know, whoever she was dating. Of course, he could just be putting his own, you know, spin on things, but I could see him kind of switching with different relationships. He's younger and doesn't seem that he has that much experience. You know, he was questioning, like, is it me that's causing her to do this? Because this hasn't happened in other relationships, but didn't feel like that he had some like steady narrative of like, this always, like, this is what I always do, you know?
Yeah.
So I could see that.
Yeah. It seemed like it was genuinely blowing his mind that this was happening and that he was like reacting to situations like this. He's like, what is going on? I mean, I feel like he's doing a lot of self-reflecting where Michaela's just like, no, not even going there. Just saying like, you know, okay, I could have, you know, done this better, rather than why am I, you know, it wasn't the same energy. Like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. It's a lot more matter of fact, like with her sister, like, yeah, he just like, he doesn't know why that happened and doesn't like that, but not like, oh yeah, I was way over the line or anything like
that. Yeah, exactly. So, we did get a conversation with Zach and Gil. So it was very interesting because everyone talked to like a friend or a sibling, but Zach talked to Gil. So
yeah, what was going on there?
Right. Like, I wonder if it was because like we've already seen his brothers in a couple of episodes. But we've also seen Michaela's sister a lot. Like, she's the only person Michaela has confided in. So I don't know. Maybe they were busy. Gil's the only one available.
Right.
But Gil was there to help out. And Zach does admit that, you know, this situation with Michaela, like her storming out of, the farmhouse was pretty traumatizing. He said she never apologized, but he even asked her like, is there anything that I could have done differently? And she was like, oh, not really. So that kind of helped him see like, okay, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's like a her thing or a we thing together. He said he does. I thought it was funny. This was really funny. He said he thinks it took a process like this and a guy like him to help like Michaela basically see that, you know, she needed to make some adjustments with how she handles relationships. Yeah. So it was like, that was kind of funny that he added a guy like me.
Yeah. He was just there to help her move along on her journey.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I do like that he's looking at the positive of it. You know, even like, no matter what the outcome is, it seems like he's actually trying to learn something from this, so it helps in the future. Unlike Johnny or Ryan, I don't feel like they have that approach. They just see those as like failed relationships. Mm-hmm. Where Zach is like, okay, there was a reason like we did this. You can tell he wants to be married so bad. And so I got to give him an A for effort with how he's trying to come out of the situation. Like, of course he didn't handle everything perfectly by any means. There are definitely some improvements on his end in terms of like communication, but going out of this, he's trying to make sure that like he learns what he needs to learn so that this doesn't happen again.
Mm-hmm.
So then we got quite a bit of substance from them at, all the couples together. So it was really interesting how, Zach basically explained his situation for saying yes and saying no. He would say yes if he had been perfectly happy with everything that's happened in the past 8 weeks and that, you know, like the process worked, that would be him saying yes. But if he said no, that just means he wasn't happy with everything. The process didn't work, but that doesn't mean the end of their relationship. So that was it took me a minute to kind of sit on it and really understand what he was saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not perfectly happy with any past 8 weeks of my life. Like, you're not going to be perfectly happy with everything that's happened in like a set amount of time. Like, there's always going to be ups and downs. So it just felt like you can't even fake like what you're going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, it was really interesting because I mean, we've seen on the last episode with him talking to Dr. Pepper, like, oh, you know, yes or no in decision day doesn't mean anything. It's just saying yes or no, since they still would be technically married. So basically he's saying like, no, him saying no would be like, no, this process didn't work, but maybe we are meant together. Maybe we can try it out. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was funny because, or maybe not funny, but it was really interesting because everyone else kind of like chimed in, or like shared their own experience, but you didn't really have a dialogue. But Bao was like, wait a second, I have some questions. Mm-hmm. She's like, why not just say yes now? And then if y'all work on it and you realize it doesn't work, then you can decide at that point not to be together.
Because yeah, she's like, don't give Johnny any ideas. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
Let me explain to you so it doesn't sound like I'm just telling Johnny. Because he doesn't take anything I say seriously. So
right.
But if someone else suggests it.
Yeah, she was definitely projecting because it was like, it's like if Johnny says no to her on decision day, she does not want him back in her text like, hey, let's hang out, you know, like thinking that's not the end of it. She's like, a no is a no for me. That means the end of our relationship. And she's like, because I came into this like looking for my forever. And this is when she did say like, you know, it takes two people to sustain a marriage and one person to end it. Mm-hmm. So she was very vocal with the fact that like Zach is seeing no as like this is just a no for now, not a no for forever. I think that interaction just showed us the dynamic that these 10 have together. Because even later when they were doing a toast, they were like, no matter what we say on decision day, it's a yes to all of us being together. Mm-hmm. That's what Rachel said. And so for Bao to be able, like, I guess to feel comfortable enough with Zach to have this type of conversation, especially in a group setting, I think that shows that like the wives and the husbands have been able to talk to each other about things. Mm-hmm. Which I just don't know. We've seen that much of that in past seasons.
Yeah, I don't think we have.
Yeah. So, that was really interesting. I was glad she challenged him on it, but Zach does maintain his stance of like, a yes is only everything's been great. A no is no, everything hasn't been great. When it's like, everyone was present for y'all's blow up at the farm retreat. So what are you saying? We're not going to think you were happy with that.
Yeah, exactly.
But and Bao was like, yeah. So like, it's just like Zach wants to say no. So he can publicly be like, hey, everybody, I'm single. But then on the side, he's like, Michaela, let's work it out.
Right.
So, I mean, that was mainly what we got for Zach and Michaela. We did see in the next time on that Zach is he wrote a letter for Michaela, which I think good on his part, because he does get pretty flustered when it's them two interacting. And she says something that he doesn't know how to respond to. So he wrote a letter to explain his thoughts and he was crying. And that's why I'm convinced that Pastor Cal's response is to them, because I could see it very well happening that he reads this letter and then he says no, because we know with him it's a temporary no. And then they leave happy. And then Pastor Cal's like, what was that?
Right. I think that's probably right.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see. I guess the only other thing was Zach did admit that he's cried more in the past. Cried more in this relationship than in his past 27 years of life. So that's something. It's weighed on him.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think that also throws a lot of these contestants for a loop. If it's like, or participants, I guess. If they're just dealing with certain things for the first time, then they'll associate it with that person instead. Like, oh, you're the one making me cry all the time, you know? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. So now we are heading into decision day. I'm very excited. I think it'll be no matter what happens, I think it'll be interesting, especially because there are couples that we don't know what's going to happen. There's some that we do, mm-hmm. but it'll still be interesting, for example, to see them confront Ryan about the dating app or confront Johnny about how he never gave Bao a chance. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I guess we have to do our last ratings for Zach and Michaela. What would you give them?
Yeah, he just gave it away that there's no way he's saying yes. And mm-hmm. so then his way of saying no is like, oh, we're still going to stay together.
Right.
But also that could just be like to not upset Michaela, to try to look better in front of the viewers, you know, because I think we've seen couples before that say yes just to kind of quietly separate later mm-hmm. on, because it's like, I don't want to deal with the disappointment of the experts. I want to like end on a positive note.
Yeah.
And say there could be a chance. But yeah, I think he's going to, it's like he's prepped Michaela for what that means. And
mm-hmm. Right. And like, don't be sad.
Yeah. She's like, okay, I've had to just accept his way and not take it personally. So yeah, I think they're a one.
I totally agree. Totally agree. And so, yeah, just as a reminder, we do have some fun stuff coming up. So, okay. So on the decision day, I'm glad to announce that we will have Mari Forth with us to talk about all of these couples and get her opinion because, you know, it's been a while since she was on. It was like episode 6. So about 10 episodes ago, and people were in a very different place. Like for Zach and Michaela, she gave them a 4, you know, well, we all did, but I'm excited to see like her thoughts on the season and then to talk about decision day. And then also, I did have that interaction with one person from this cast. And so I will be glad to finally share that story. But that'll be on the reunion. We'll talk about that on the reunion podcast, mm-hmm. after decision day, or maybe after decision day. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I'll see when the story is appropriate, but stay tuned for that. and then also it's the beginning of November. So November is a great month to become a patron of RHAP if you aren't already. So you can get access to like the weekly Survivor 41 Q&A show, Patreon 5 for 5, and access to all of the great stuff that is out in Facebook and Discord. Plus, there's a Survivor Trivia Night returning this month as a patron activity. I know that Rob announced that it's going to be on, I can't remember what it's called. Not Sporkle. It's basically like it is escaping me. But basically it's a very popular like trivia where you can have up to 1,000 participants. So it's going to be open to everyone. And so he was like, for the first 1,000 patrons, come on, you know. So you want to be one of the first 1,000 to be in on that Survivor Trivia Night. Should be a lot of fun. And then the support, you know, for things like Trivia Night and with becoming a patron on the RHAP network, you can become a patron by going to robhasawebsite.com/patron to support everything that RHAP has going on this month and every month.
Yeah, and that's where we grab questions for our Bachelorette podcast. So, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know that there is as many patrons that are currently into Married at First Sight, but hey, mm-hmm. if we grow it, we'll get a whole question thread going there too.
Right.
But yeah, just having access to some of the hosts in the patron group or just a way to make sure your questions are heard is also really fun. And yeah, I also want to give a quick plug to the Bachelorette wrap up. Asia, how are you feeling about your draft so far?
I feel good. I feel really good with like Nate. And
you lost Pizza Boy.
I did. But I wasn't too happy about having him in the first place, you know. I do feel good about like Romeo, even though he hasn't gotten that one-on-one time yet. Mm-hmm. Brandon J, oh my gosh, every time he's on the screen, I'm just like, he's so adorable.
Yeah.
Like he just, I love that he just seems so pure. So yeah. I hope that's not ruined at some point this season, but I have high hopes. So yeah, I have thoroughly enjoyed this season. So it's just like, you know, the draft is a cherry on top. I'm like, even if all my draft picks go out, I still am enjoying, you know, how Michelle is handling everything. And I'm finally glad that she sent that guy home.
Jamie.
Because what was that? Yeah. Yeah. I was like, just in case it's a spoiler, but I guess at this point, if you watch, you've watched. So yeah. Everyone should know that Jamie didn't handle himself well at all.
No. And,
it's a mess.
I know. That was a roller coaster for sure.
Yeah. So is it good? I can't believe it's only been 3 episodes. I feel like it's been on longer.
Yeah. So Haley and I recap that each week. We have fun guests here and there. We recently had Rourke. We should be having Mari coming up and some other fun surprises. So follow that on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed or a separate feed. And yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at RHAP Recapper.
Awesome. And everyone, you can follow me at Asia Like Asia on Twitter. So it's AYSHA like ASIA. I was recently on the 90 Day Fiance The Other Way wrap up with Puya this week. So definitely go check that out. We had a blast talking about those couples. And there's a lot of parallels to Married at First Sight. So I let them know that if you enjoy this show, you will enjoy Married at First Sight. Trust me. Mm-hmm. Very similar. So yeah, definitely check out that podcast. And then, of course, Amy and I will be here for the rest of the season talking about season 13 every week. So looking forward to that. And then some potential off-season podcasts will be in the works. So look out for that as well. So until next week. We will see you next time. Bye.